This audio recording is brought to you by caseygolan.com.au.
Hi there and thanks for listening. This is Casey Golan and this is part two of four parts of an interview that I did with my client Eddie McElhaney from Big Commerce. We talk about their growth, the trials, the tribulations and the things that they've learnt during the process. Let's get into this second part now. Let's look at your background, mate, because really you live in the dream now. A lot of people start up and they've got a dream in their head of, oh, I want to start a business and I want to take it worldwide and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to get to $1 million, love to get to $2 million or whatever. You and Mitch started the business. Just take us right back to when you first started. Like, what were you doing when you first started? Were you working somewhere and you had an idea and where did you start off from? And
yeah, so Mitch and I on opposite sides of Sydney had both built content management systems kind of in our spare time. Mitch was very technical, as was I. I was less technical, more kind of sales and marketing focused at the time. And I was working in a friend's office. He had a mobile phone store in Roselle, and he had lent me some room. He had leased out some room for me and actually had given it to me for free for about 6 to 8 months.
He's a good friend.
He was a great friend. Still is. And he basically told me, you know, you go have this space. It was an old kind of place, had a little couch, we've got a desk, and we just started working out of there. So I met with Mitch. Mitch and I met online in a chat room.
Yep.
Mitch helped me to take one of my products into a different programming language, et cetera. And so we're just these techies, and, you know, we got some success really quickly.
Were you working somewhere else? Were you paid employee somewhere else? Or did you just go, oh, we're going to start a business, and you just absolutely bootstrapped it?
Mate, initially it was completely bootstrapped. I didn't even see it as a business. It was kind of more of a hobby, focused on building the software and then just put it online one day and got a phone call from the States from a partner who eventually worked with us for a while in the States who said, you know, really like what software you guys are doing. I'll help you sell it, et cetera. So started learning a little bit about marketing and sales and you know, but we focused everything was very heavy online. It was just Mitch and I, and then eventually we had a couple of employees working with us in this little office. We then moved to an office in Alexandria, which was a little bit bigger, and we had about, you know, 5 to 7 employees at the time. Again, very technical. We didn't really understand financial sales. It was just kind of learning as we go.
Were you marketing at that time as well?
Online, yeah. We were technical background, so Google AdWords kind of came second nature for us. That's back then when no one was doing it. Yeah. Email marketing came as second nature. But we were reading a ton, learning a lot online, yeah. Looking at what other people were doing.
Yeah. And then so for everyone here, you mean before you had that office, you kind of started it from your bedroom.
Pretty much, yeah. Work from home.
Yeah, and then you moved to the office, and now That was in Sydney. Now tell people where your other office is as well.
Yeah, we have a office in Austin in Texas.
Yeah. Why Austin? Why Texas? Why the US?
Well, the US was a natural state for us because, as I mentioned, we're doing a lot of online marketing, and organically we started attracting, you know, 85% of our customer base came from the United States, so it made a ton of sense. So we hired a few people who worked from home remotely through just over Skype and telephone, et cetera, consultants. Worked for us for a little while, and we saw some success there and decided, well, in order for us to get serious, we're definitely going to need somewhere in the U.S. And strangely enough, what Mitch and I typically do whenever we reach a stage of the business where we need to learn a little bit more, we go out and find a consultant or a coach. And before you had come on board, we had a marketing consultant who was helping us really focus just on the marketing aspect. He was based out of Austin and said to us, well, you know, Austin's a great place. You should come check it out. So my fiance at the time and I, we got married. We did a honeymoon in the US and the Caribbean around that area and decided, hey, let's move to Austin for, was it 12 months or 9 months? Found an office and here we are.
Wow, good stuff. So you guys, the two Sydney sides, it started from your bedroom and now you've got pretty much a worldwide reach business. And how many staff you got over there in Austin, by the way?
All up, we have about 90 staff. We'll have 110, 120 by the end of the year. Wow. And 200 the next year. We have about 50, between 50 and 60 combined in Austin and remote over there, and about 20 people and hiring. So
A lot of people go, wow, that's a lot of staff, but how now, with all the things you've got in place, how do you go about, you know, what's your mindset towards managing those people and make sure they're productive?
Yeah, look, we run a lot of things by KPIs, but also bringing in middle management, and now we're looking at, you know, looking to hire executive leadership. So one of the things I talked to you about, Case, is what I was learning from you is really learning how to act like an executive does in a larger company. What you'll notice in a ton of the larger companies, your Nikes, your McDonald's, whatever, they all have CFOs, CMOs, you know, VPs, VP level people.
And now, just go through that. CFOs, CMOs, VPs, just so the listeners know what that is.
So CFO is just Chief Financial Officer, also known as Director of Finance, your Head of Accounting, et cetera. That person will focus on your financial aspect of the business, the taxation aspect, but also the financial management, the stuff that you and I worked with a lot.
Yeah, management accounting.
Management accounting, right. Your CMO, your Chief Marketing Officer, will build your marketing team, will really focus on building the brand awareness, generating leads, et cetera. That's all that he or she and his team will focus on.
Yep.
Then you have your VP of Sales, you know, basically closes those leads and turns them into cash. You have your, you know, VP of support or VP of client services who helps your customers and makes sure they're all on board, et cetera. So that's the process we're going through now, really building out our executive level team. As I'm hiring and talking to these people, based on a lot of the work that we did and what we've learned in the past is I can now talk to these people on somewhat of the same level because I really understand our books. I really understand the financial and operational model. Sometimes I actually understood it more so than some of the CFOs that I was interviewing, right?
Yeah.
And obviously the person that I'm bringing on board, the person that we've hired and that we're bringing on board is way more talented and way more skilled in that area than I am. But I could have that conversation with them on a one-to-one and really understand where they were coming from and where they can help and grow the business. So we talked a lot about financial models. One of the exercises I actually did was working with the CFO candidates actually gave them an exercise of walk me through how you would build a financial model. What are some of the key drivers and things that you would look at? If I hadn't worked with you in the past and really understood that, there is no way that, you know, I would have been able to have that conversation.
Yeah, part of our recruitment thing, we're giving each person that's coming on some sort of practical tests to see how clever they are, you know, at the first instance to see, you know, to then take them through to do the normal sort of, well, abnormal sort of recruitment process that we do. But anyway, for you, in putting together this process, and you've got all of these different managers that you can put into your team. Tell me, you had the business, you had it to a level, and then you started attracting the VC, which is the venture capitalist. You got some venture capital. What has been the big lesson that you've learnt and the big opportunity that has now come your way because you've had this venture capital of 15 mil? And what's the driver that they're now pushing you towards?
Look, the biggest opportunity we have is we've got an opportunity now to be the leader in the category, and that means the number one e-commerce provider in the world. That's, you know, for small businesses. That's become our mission. And I want to talk a little bit about one of the things that you challenged us to do was really think about what is our mission statement, who are we as a company, what do we, you know, what do we believe in, and not just your typical boring mission statement that everyone says to be this and that, you know, goes off for months.
But something that inspires our customers.
Right, exactly. Something that can actually move people and attract the right people to your company. And that's exactly what's happened. The right people, we're attracting the people who buy into our vision. You know, we believe that we're going to be the number one provider of e-commerce, but we want to change people's lives along the way. So we want to enable small businesses to create a ton of money and free up their time and do things that they couldn't have done before. And that's changed the way our entire company, you know, philosophy is. We also built our core values, which we talk about, you know, the type of people that we're looking to hire and bring on. So the biggest opportunity now is for us to actually be, you know, that vision that we set, that mission statement to be the number one. That's what the venture capital, both from the cash perspective, obviously we can hire really, really good people. We can spend a lot more on marketing. We can really drive, you know, spend a lot more in engineering and providing a fantastic product. But also the network, you know, when I travel to the U.S. and the people that I'm meeting and the board that we're building and the people that we're hiring, they're the best of the best. The people that have grown companies into hundreds of millions of revenue, you know, not fives or tens, but I'm talking hundreds of millions. So, you know, we have an opportunity to ideally IPO and to become a, you know, global name in e-commerce.
Now, IPO, just explain what that is for the listeners.
Public offering, so to be listed on the stock market.
Yeah, which you know, for a lot of people on the street, you know, that's kind of, you know, the way to make to get rich, blah blah blah. But it, you know, there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through and hurdles you got to jump over, and it's not easy, but it is definitely possible, you know, to list your company and, you know, for investors to come on board. And obviously that's why you're getting some help out there, because they can see the future of the business and the possibility of the business, and that's why these people come knocking. Interesting thing, Ed, I get a lot of people come and they want come to me and they call up and say, look, you know, I need some investors in my business, but usually their business isn't in a good position.
Mate, the number one thing, the best thing we ever did before we raised capital was to get our business to the state that it was at. The fact that we were a bootstrap company with, I think, you know, 50 employees at the time or 40 employees at the time, we were profitable, we had a good business model, we really understood our finances, we really understood the space, we had a marketing kind of a machine per se, we had some decent level, you know, good level management level type people. That in itself is why we had a few offers on the table when we came to raise capital. And that was the reason why we got what we believe is one of the top five venture capital firms in the world. They're above and beyond the number one in Boston in the area that they're in. They're known as in the top five in the world. They've invested in some very similar companies in terms of SaaS. So we get a lot of, meet a lot of people and a lot of understanding and shorten our learning curve. And we've also met a lot of, they've invested in some strong companies in e-commerce. So the number one reason above and beyond is we weren't pitching an idea. We were pitching a fast growth, great company that was in an exciting opportunity. And that's why we actually had venture capitalists who were disappointed that we actually turned them down.
Yeah. And that's the lesson for people. You've got to have a good business to get good funding.
Yes,
people, these sorts of guys that have got the money, they don't really take pity on you. Go, oh, you poor things, you've been running a bad business. Here you go, here's 10, 15 mil. No. These guys are business people. They want to put money into a business where they're going to get a return from. So, you know, best business practice. Now, for you, when you started with me, we kind of went sideways for a while. It wasn't like, let's grow, rah, rah, rah. It was, let's get a real grasp of this business, you know, and the financial modeling and the people and the recruiting and all that was all part of it. That can be kind of boring to some people in business where they go, oh, I don't want to look at the finances. And I often say to my clients, hey, this is the sexy bit, you know, looking at your finances. What's your opinion on that now that you've gone through it?
Mate, I get excited looking at financial models now, and it's, I don't love numbers, don't get me wrong, I've never been big in maths, I've never loved accounting, but like you said, it's sexy because you see opportunity. You can see the opportunity of how you will grow now. You really get a complete understanding. It's like this plan, something that's completely open up where you can see exactly how you will execute on what you need to do, how you will acquire customers, where you will spend here. It helps in all aspects of the business, what you look for in your management team. To me, it's really, really exciting. Every time we build a new operational model, financial model, every month we get to go back and see how did we perform, how did we execute against that model as well.
There's a big thing now with this 4-hour work week, and it's like outsource, outsource, outsource. But I reckon some people just outsource too quickly, and they don't understand what they're outsourcing, and they don't understand what that outsourced contractor should be providing. Do you agree with that?
Completely. I agree with that, both from a consulting, outsourcing, and from a hiring perspective. So when I talked to you a bit about in the past, hiring executive-level people is not easy. One, they're very high in demand, and they've got to have a level of respect for you. So when you really know what you're talking about, both from consulting and contracting and hiring perspective, you get a lot more respect back, and you get to attract a lot more talent because they respect you as a founder and as a CEO. But if you don't know, if you don't really have a grasp of what results you're trying to get, and you've never really done it before, it makes hiring and outsourcing so much more difficult. I know tons of people who've outsourced their search engine optimization, or I see this a lot in the marketing world, who haven't bothered to just, you know, get a book, or talk to Casey or somebody and understand just the basics so that you can have that conversation with the contractor.
It's kind of sexy to outsource and have no idea of what's going on, but no, I reckon that's the quickest way to losing money. And for me, you know, with what I try and do with every one of my clients is get them understanding the key areas of their business. So when they do move forward, and let's be honest, when you move forward and your business grows, you're going to get better quality people coming to you. And those quality people want a challenge and they want a leader. And if they've got someone that's clever, that's switched on, knows where they're going, and that consultant or that potential employee knows that leader knows exactly who that person is and that they can't get away with things, that's who they're going to go to. So they're going to follow
exactly
that
right.
person.
That's exactly right.
Top talent wants to be challenged. They want to get the best out of themselves. They're going to migrate to the leader that will get the best out of them.
Yep. Well, and I think what some people don't realize, the author of the 4-Hour Workweek, Tim Ferriss, is actually a resident in San Francisco. He knows all the venture capitalists. He's actually an investor in tons of different companies. So although he talks about the 4-hour work week, he actually probably works more like 60 hours a week.
Yep. Of course. But he sells a lot of books.
He sells a lot of books, exactly right.
So, but he's selling the dream, and that's what you've got to do. You sell the pans, you know.
Exactly.
All that. So for you, okay, so you've got this venture capital money, and for you, people might say, why do you want venture capital? Well, what that does, and particularly for Ed and Mitch, they had their business that was fast growing anyway. They didn't need the venture capital money because they had a profitable business, but what that allowed them to do was accelerate the speed of growth so they can take over the market a lot quicker, because when you start getting visible, people start to look at you, start wanting to copy you and things like that, and you can either sit there like a lame duck or you can accelerate.
Yeah, exactly, especially when you've got a leadership position, because in our space, generally, the leader does 50 times better than the number two in the category. So while the number two will do generally pretty well, if you can be number one, you're going to do a lot better. But like you said, the ability to accelerate. So the venture capital did a few things. Firstly, it added credibility to the business. If a top tier venture firm who's invested in companies like HubSpot, Demandware, Kayak, top companies all going towards an IPO, all run incredibly well, if a company like that, if a venture capital firm can invest in a business like ours, you know, out of Sydney and Austin, et cetera, they're adding that credibility that they're seeing something here, that there's a growth opportunity, and potential employees, board members, executive level staff also see that potential now. So it adds a ton of credibility. It gives us a newsworthy piece to talk about in the press. So, you know, like I mentioned before, we're on the Sydney Morning Herald, Financial Review, where a lot of that is coming from, you know, being this small, relatively unknown Sydney-based company servicing the world, and now all of a sudden we've got this capital injection from a US-based venture firm. Very rare. There's only maybe a handful of companies in Sydney or in Australia that have done that before. So that makes us newsworthy. But obviously, what it also does is it gives us a lot of structure in terms of the board, in terms of the decision-making, in terms of the strategy, because generally the VC has been there and done that before. They've grown companies, they've taken companies to an IPO, they know what it takes, they have a strong network, so they can introduce us to really good talent. And finally, the cash always helps, because once you've built your financial model and you really understand the components that drive your business, now you know where to invest. You know where to invest a dollar to get $3 out. You know, you really understand that you might invest a dollar here, you might not see that return for 12 months, but in that 12 month, after 12 months, the return on investment is going to be fivefold, so you can invest a ton of money now to get a better business in the end.
For further information, please go to caseygolan.com.au. That's caseygolan.com.au for all your business coaching and business growth products and services.